Well, it is a joy to be with you all this morning, and this would be, we enjoy sharing on missions. We have been, well, when I spent 10 years in the Navy, and our last church was an English language Baptist church pastored by a Southern Baptist missionary. And it was at that church, Zama Baptist, that I know some of you know Charles Dameron. Anyways, he was in the Army, we were in the Navy, and we became good friends. But since our pastor was a full-time missionary supported by Southern Baptist, we were able to support a Japanese pastor to start a Japanese mission. And the more we got involved, the more God started using us, and the more he used us, the greater the call came for me to say bye to a Navy career and to go into ministry. We had hoped our call would be to Japan, thought it was, but so we prepared to go, but ended up going to Spain instead for 4 years doing English language work, ministering to sailors and Marines and their families who were stationed there. So, and that's one of the places I had planned to re-enlist for, so it was really great. Our adventure is definitely different than anything that most people have had. As already shared, we've been a few places. So we've been state missionaries in Louisiana Baptist Convention, reaching Japanese in the greater New Orleans area. We've been, foreign missionaries, that's what it was called then at that time back in the 80s and 90s. So we'd been foreign missionaries supported by Southern Baptists. When God closed the door for us to go back to Spain, we said, Lord, where do you want us? And we were in Florida, in Panama City. I was working at a miniature golf course, and I changed some lights in the middle of May. I went home at noon, was suffering from heat exhaustion again. Said, that's it. I've sent resumes to New England, and ended up away at the top up in Caribou. Now, it's cold up there. We actually got to 46 below zero once, not counting the wind chill. And wind chill on one storm was 80. They said 80 below zero, and due to a crack in the wall at our church building, it froze our heater, and that took a whole day to repair all the pumps for the water and the stuff. I've been a volunteer missionary when I was a pastor at Riverside Baptist Church in Chilhowee, went to Nicaragua, and then we went to Japan as independents. Where Calvary Baptist is an English language speaking church ministering to Air Force and Navy personnel and their families. And International Mission Board no longer sends missionaries to the English language churches, they had to provide their own pastors and provide for their needs. So we were still Southern Baptist and still involved in Southern Baptist work. And then even when we left there after 3.5 years in Misawa, we went down to Fukuoka in the southern part where her home is located in Sasebo, which is in Nagasaki Prefecture. We worked with the Japan Baptist Convention churches that were starting, the JBC was started through the Southern Baptist work. So all the time we were still connected. When we were in Misawa, we worked with some of our missionaries who were IMB missionaries in getting a house in Tono set up for the volunteers to come to help people that suffered from the tsunami. But anyway, yeah, and everybody's heard of Armand Hammer. Last name's Jalbert. I don't have his wealth or anything else. But I was born in New Hampshire, grew up in Florida, so I'm a Floridian, and I can't stand the heat. So that's how we ended up in Maine, and then that was too cold. So we went from endless summer to endless winter and settled right here in Southwest Virginia, and that's why we're here in Chilhowee. It's My sister lives in Bristol, Tennessee, and we stayed with them for about 3 months, 4 months when Riverside called to be pastor. But I was stationed in Japan for almost, well, for over 8 years, and God had just, when I was at Kagazama Baptist, God really worked on my life, and he had already prepared me by putting me on a ship that was one of the worst commands I'd ever been under. And, I hated it, I was miserable, but God used that to break me, to make me realize I'm there because he put me there. The officers that were that we had to deal with, God put them there. And by my complaining, I was complaining against God and his will for me. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding. He had to work on that one. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. So, you know, I believe that God leads us, and he puts us into positions to respond to him, yes or no. And like I said, he had to break me to get me ready to get ready for ministry. That's why he had me in the Navy so long. But anyways, God used us, and we had Bible studies in English, or English Bible studies, and we had Japanese who came to that. They wanted to practice. We had worked with the youth, and we saw that ministry grow, and so more than God started tapping us, saying, that's what I want you to do. And so my focus this morning, though, will be on Japan, because you know, Spain was back in 86 and 90. I can't remember that far back. But it really, our love was for the Japanese people. And anyways, let's see. I knew where I was going, but we were going to Japan. but anyways, from my personal experience and observations, I would just share this. What we have is missions work through Southern Baptist is one of the greatest, best support systems in the world. We're the only ones that have a cooperative giving, the Lottie Moon offerings, where we take care of our missionaries overseas. And we don't have to drum up our own support. We didn't have to. We had our insurance. And if something happened, the IMB would send missionaries home or to hospitals or whatever. They took care of all of that. Being independent, we were on our own. We had to pay for everything. We had to get our own support. God provided for us. But there were missionaries that we knew personally that when one of them, he'd been a Pentecostal missionary. He went to the States for about 2 years to get support, got support, came back, ended up with some kind of brain tumor, had to fly back to the States, took up 3 seats, had to pray for a nurse and his wife. And our church helped him out a lot. So you can see what we have as mission support is really tremendous all throughout the world. But like I said, I want to share something about Japan. Japan is a beautiful country, and there are a lot of foreigners who go there. And when we were there just 2 weeks ago, I came back 2 weeks ago from visiting for 2 weeks, we saw foreigners all over. Have any of you been to Japan? Anybody been to Japan? Well, yeah, to give you an idea, huh?
I was there for 2 hours.
2 hours, okay. Neat airport, isn't it?
I don't know if they were
playing. Oh, okay, you're still on the plane. Okay, I know you were probably going south, right? To that nice tropical climate in Vietnam, right? I've been in and out of Vietnam a lot. But matter of fact, I'll give you an idea how small this world is. One of our friends who lives and works in Japan, her name's Ann Crozini. Her mother, Patricia, Larson, lives here in Whitville. Some of you know her, okay. And so Ann is a friend of ours, and we got involved with them in Japan. But when we were looking, needing a place to stay, when we came back, she worked with a church over in Portsmouth, helped out with her work, and we loaned us a house. And so I loaned her, and she was going to be there on part-time and knew we needed a house. So we actually got the house, and she came, stayed every week, and went home on the weekends, come back maybe like Wednesday or Thursday. And so we became really good friends. And we worked together in the same church for a while. But it's a beautiful country, and the people are really friendly. Service is tremendous. They take care of you. They're concerned about you. You know, the whole country is clean. It's safe. I've got some pictures here. You'll see some pictures of the mall over there. It's a really neat place to live. It's very crowded. It has half the population of the United States crammed into an area that's about the size of California, but two-thirds of that is unlivable because of all the mountains. So everybody's packed together, and it's really tight. And so, but everything is pretty well organized. Like trains, for example, we had a rail pass, and we traveled all over when we were visiting a few weeks ago. You know, if a train pulled in, you know, if you had a train that was supposed to come at 12:30, and you get on the train that comes at 12:27, you're on the wrong train. They're that accurate. You can judge your watch by it, and sure enough, here comes the train. So they're very productive. Now, Japan is made up of four major islands: Hokkaido in the north, Honshu, the long one, where you have Tokyo and Osaka, Hiroshima, and then you got a smaller island of Shikoku, which is just on there's the inland waterway, the inland sea, and then Kyushu, which is close to Korea, where Naoko is from. And there are thousands of other islands out there that make up all of Japan, including Okinawa. Now, it's like I said, a mountainous country, and so it's a beautiful country. The scenery is just fantastic. I mean, it was, you know, beautiful coming up the mountain, you know, driving up yesterday. We had sunshine. I'm looking at the valleys, the mountains, the hills. Well, just think of the whole country that way. And even in Nagano, when we were visiting family up there, you could see snow on the mountains. And they have the Japan Alps, and yeah, believe it or not, Japan gets a lot of snow. And so it's interesting, very interesting country. Now, most of the people there, well, there are two major religions, Buddhism and Shinto. Buddhism was adopted from the Chinese and made more to fit the Japanese style. Shinto is something that only Japanese can be. It's the way of the gods, and it's where God is found in everything, in rocks, in trees, you name it, God can be found in it. And so they all the homes have a little shelf up here for the Shinto, and then they have an altar for their ancestors. That's the one that affects most of them. Because if you ask Japanese, they're like 95% Buddhist and 95% Shinto. It's all blended together. And they take things from other religions and put them in that fits their needs. So they have their ancestor worship, where every morning the head of family would come, put food out, and light incense and pray. So like I said, they incorporate a whole lot. You know, they incorporate religion. There's some things that from Christianity that they like and do. They may have a Shinto wedding and a Buddhist funeral. Or a Christian-style wedding is very popular over there. So, you know, they've got things like that. One thing that stands out in Japan, though, is that the group is all important. You need to conform from preschool, kindergarten on through. Everyone is made to conform and not to stand out. And that makes it really hard in reaching people for Christ, because if you stand out, they're gonna knock you down. You'll have societies, families, schools. Yeah, they'll push you down. One of the problems, though, that they have in Japan, you know, from the surface, everything looks really good. But there is an emptiness within. There is a darkness over there. They search for meaning in life like we do. But, you know, guys, they go to work maybe 10 to 12, even 14 hours a day. Or they may live in another city and only come, you know, see their family a couple times a month, or if that much. They're always working and they're busy. They're, like I say, very productive. But there's an emptiness within. When Naoko was a teenager, I'd share something of her testimony. I asked if she wanted to. She'd rather let me do it. But when she was a teenager, she started wondering, why I'm here. What's my purpose in life? And she questioned, you know, they had the little Shinto shrine, and she was asking, does God live in there? Things like that. She had read a book by Tolstoy that, she's searching in philosophies. And she read this book that he put down Christianity, but it stimulated an interest in Christianity. She had visited a Catholic church and just didn't fit in. Well, one day in one of her classes, the teacher asked if anybody there was a Christian or went to a church, and one girl did. As soon as the class was over, Naoko went up to her and said, "Take me to church." And the church she was going to was Sasebo Baptist Church. See, one of the things that Naoko was needing, she says she described it as having a hole in her heart, and she's trying to find what can fill that hole. She was looking, why are we here? Why? What's my purpose? She heard a message dealing with where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And she said, "That's my answer." She heard John 3:16, where God so loved the world, everybody in it, that he gave his only begotten Son. It was that Christianity wasn't just for foreign or for Westerners, it was for the Japanese too. She gave her life to Christ. And 6 months later, I came on the scene. Just graduated from high school. I came on the scene. Saw this cute girl, got to know her, and like I said, a year and a half later, we were married. But anyways, there is a hunger that the Japanese are trying to fill, and we have the answer. But because of society's pressure, there are people who are seeking and will go to church. But they need to learn. One of the things that we did when we were in Misawa during the tsunami, big earthquake and tsunami, we ministered to the people. We went to where they were. Especially the victims in their temporary housing. We kept going. And once a month, our church and other churches would get together just to love on the people, to share love, listen to them, listen to their stories. And that kind of love is what causes people to look to Christ and to turn to Christ. Well, I asked Naoko if she would sing today, and a song that she says is very special to her: "As the deer pants for the water, so my heart, soul thirsts for you." And she's going to do it in English and Japanese, so you can see what it's like to sing in tongues. So I'm going to ask you if she'll come up at this time.
For the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire and I long to worship thee. Tanika wano na gale o shita u shika no yoni. Shuyo wa gatama shi anata wo oshita u. Anata koso waga chikara. Anata koso waga nozomi ware wa shuongu. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eyes. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Only Jesus can fill lives. Only Jesus can fill that emptiness. Remember, he created us in his image, all of us. And he created us in his image in order to have fellowship with us, have a relationship with us. People are empty. Here in the States, in Spain, all around the world, even in Japan, people are empty, searching for something in life that gives meaning and purpose. And that meaning and that purpose is Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. My prayer is that everybody here knows him, has a relationship with him, without having to go to another country to hear. You know, we've got opportunities here that people don't have overseas. Just to get back to our ministry back in Japan, as I shared, we worked with military families and we also worked with the Japanese. We had in Komatsukaoka, we had a mission church. And we worked with them and trying to do outreach. And we did that through English language and through other activities. We had youth rallies twice a year in our church where we would our members would open up their homes for Japanese students from middle school through college to come and have an American homestay, as they can practice their English and learn English. And we would have games and activities. They had Bible studies and opportunities to share Christ. And they would come from even as far as Tokyo all the way up to where we were, about, 300 miles. And they would come for that. And as a result, we've heard of many people that through the gospel, finally, some would come multiple times, and many became Christians or believers, followers in Christ. You know, we had baptized a number of Americans and a couple Japanese, and it was just so neat to see their lives change. But working with the Americans was challenging because they weren't just Baptists, weren't just Southern Baptists. They were maybe other Baptists and other churches. So we had quite an interesting group of people. But they all had the same desire. They wanted to worship together in a Bible-based church. And we came together. My purpose or goal was to disciple those who came, the new believers as well as the others who came. We discipled them. We trained them. We gave them responsibilities. And we had many that were just pew warmers leave 3 years after they're there for 3 years. They would leave as deacons. We actually ordained a couple of the men into ministry. And others we didn't ordain, but one was became a youth minister, and another one was became a pastor, and we had a part in all of that. The sad thing is, in older churches, you've got your older older people, or the elders. They're the leaders. Well, the younger people usually don't get the opportunities, but through the English language ministries, they did. And it became blessings to the churches where they went to. Like I said, we had the Japanese church, and we worked with them. We worked with the Japanese youth, but we also worked with the Japanese pastors. We were part of the Tohoku Baptist Association. We got to know a lot of the Japanese pastors. It's nice having your own interpreter to go along with it. Because we got to know the Japanese, we were able to encourage them. And when the tsunami hit, we were involved in the relief effort. We received over $50,000, $52,000 from churches and individuals in the state sent to our church to help people in need. We worked with the Morioka Baptist Church, one of the pastors and his wife, that we became good friends. And so they worked with the churches out on the coast. And the pastor would call and say, "We need 50 kerosene heaters. We need 100 blankets." My secretary was Japanese, spoke English fluently. She'd get online, order all of that, have it sent directly to the church, and then the church would work with other churches to distribute them. And so we had quite a network. When we were there, I had an opportunity to take a damage relief assessment team, to go into these areas, and I was given a special pass in my van, and so I took them around. I've got some pictures up here of the devastation. It was just mind-boggling. And we were able to, because of that, we were able to share this news with people all over the world through internet, and we were able to minister to so many of the people. After the tsunami, a lot of people were put in temporary housing. And well, the government left, but the Christians kept coming back, ministering to the people in these, ministering in the way that we'd bring gifts, we'd bring food, have time of fellowship, just sit and listen, showing the love of Jesus and that we cared for them. And as a result of that, when Franklin Graham came to Sendai a year after the tsunami, over 400 people gave their lives to Christ. And, there are a lot of really great stories related to that. People became, the churches that before were small, insignificant, they weren't seen to be able to do anything that had an impact on the community. Well, the churches joined together and ministered to people. Now Christians had a voice. People listened to them, and many trusted them, and many have given their lives to them. So, it was a blessing. It was a terrible event, but it was a blessing in that the lives that we were able to impact, working together with all these other churches. And so that was a great blessing. We worked with IMB missionaries, Ron and Cindy Reynolds, who were good friends from seminary. They'd been in Japan for years. The former mission board was, or IMB was, got a big house to house volunteers coming from the States to be able to go out and do mud work and mudding and other types of work. He called and said, "We need furniture. This is what we need." Within a week, we had it. I rented a truck, drove it down, and then when I got there, the first group of volunteers came. They unloaded the truck. And it's just the thing that I'm trying to emphasize is how God leads us and how He directs our steps when we're just willing to step back and let Him. When we step back and let Him lead, He does things through us, and we just stand amazed at what He does. And it's humbling to be part of what He is doing. Well, we were in Misawa for 3.5 years. You know, we were like on a 3-year contract. We received a call from some missionary friends down in Kita Kyushu on the island of Kyushu. And they were going to the States for 6 months to raise some funds and ask if we could come and take care of their ministries. They had Bible studies and other things going, and we did. We felt God leading us there. It only put us 3 hours away from her mother's house instead of 30. And we got involved in Bible studies in English, and of course with Japanese, going back and forth. When the Otsukas came back, God provided a house for us in Fukuoka, the big city, the biggest city in Kyushu. And we got involved in Hirao Baptist Church, where I was asked to be an associate minister in English language ministries. So I was an associate pastor there. And we reached out to people from all over. They had the church over in one part of town, and then in town, we had a campus, the Daimyo Cross Garden. And we reached people through coffee ministries, Bible studies, concerts, all kinds of things, and we were reaching people for Christ. Well, money ran out. Well, our visas, it were fought for 5 years. They were expiring, and we had to show proof of income. And we had a house church, but they decided to go their own way, and we realized that we need to come back to the States. Our daughter and our son, they all have health issues within their family. So we felt we needed to be back here. Well, I ended up pastoring the Tidewater area again for 4 years, retired from full-time pastoral service, and came over to Chilhowee. And I'm involved with our Veterans Honor Guard. And our church has a ministry of providing furniture for people in need. And so we're still reaching out in that way. And the warehouse is right next to our house, so I got involved quite a bit. But God has used us. I've been doing supply work for pastors when they're out. You know, I've gone to different churches. And we're just simply following day by day what God wants us to do. You know, one of the things about following God, being a Christian over here isn't too rough. But when you go to Japan and other countries, being a Christian is really a tough commitment. In some countries, if you become a Christian and baptized, they'll kill you or kick you out or do something. In Japan, it's tough too because of the pressures of society. You know, they will push you down. And some Christians have difficulties with their neighbors, like once a month or every couple months. On Sunday mornings, the whole community goes and cleans their, you know, the roads and the drainage ditches. And when Christians don't do that because they're going to church, they have to pay a fine. And so, and some people, your parents are glad the kids can go to church, but just don't become Christians. You know, don't get baptized. Well, when Naoko gave her life to Christ, she knew that her parents would not be happy with that. So she told them, she got baptized and then told them. Too late. And she's always been rebellious, right? So, you know, being a Christian is demanding in some ways. It's demanding because Jesus tells us to go into all the world teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. He tells us to. Not all of us are called to go overseas, but we are all called to missions. We're called to go, we're called to support, we're called to take advantage of opportunities to reach out and minister to people within our communities or even in other lands as volunteers. See, I believe God wants all of us to live out our Christian life in a way that people see Jesus in us, that they see the love of Christ, and that in a sense, we are, like I said, we're all called to missions. We support one another. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. We have a message to proclaim. Why? Why are we to do this? Well, we're all familiar with John 3:16, right? Everybody has heard, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." We do it, we reach out because God loves us. He loves the world. And when we give our lives to Christ, we do things out of love. He said in Matthew 22:37, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And then he says we're to love our neighbors. We serve God because he loves us. If somebody has done something really great for you, you feel an obligation. You want to do something in return. Well, look what Jesus did for us. He died for us, paid the penalty that we could not afford to pay. He took our sins upon himself so that we could have forgiveness, eternal life with our new heavenly Father as children of God. And just out of that love for, out of his love for us, and our love in return to him, we love others. We love those for whom he had died. And for whom did he die? The whole world. So many people still haven't heard the word. Some people, some of our friends in Japan, they're diehard Buddhists. We can tell you a story on how God connected us. You know, we're able to take this pastor, one pastor that we were asked to speak at, the church, pastor of the church who was to speak, and got introduced to her family and some friends. Because, see, they didn't want any Christians coming, but this gave opportunity. People need to know Jesus, and the only way they know them is when they see Jesus lived out in each of us. And when we love people and they know we love them, they're going to listen to what we have to say. They want to know, what's the reason for your joy? What is the reason for your life? You go, that's one of the things about this tsunami. Christians lost a lot of loved ones. And the people around in their community say, what's up with you? You're smiling. You seem to have a joy in your life. And yet you lost family members. Opportunity to share that our life is eternal. When we know Jesus, we live forever and ever a God quality life, knowing that once we give our lives to Christ, we're his forever. We go because of the love of God for us, our love for him, and a love for his people. See, a full, meaningful life is found in Jesus. And all we need to do is open to repent of our sins, recognize, hey, Lord, we are sinners. We need you. And you open up your heart. He actually fills that hole, that emptiness. Life has been an adventure. We didn't plan to go into ministry when we got married. And I was going to be a sailor all my life. God had other plans. And it's been an adventure. It's been a tremendous adventure. Since I ripped her away from her home and I had no desire to go back to Florida, we had no roots. And God moved us where he needed us for specific things. And we're just so thankful that God has given us opportunity. And God gives us all opportunity to commit to him, to serve him. And I would just like to say that maybe God is working on your heart and your life in some way to trust him as Lord and Savior. Or maybe God's been nudging you that you need to get involved in some kind of ministry, whether jail ministry or pregnancy center ministry, or with Gideon's or anything like this. Be obedient. Because when you're obedient, you're in for a ride, and it's a good one. So if you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we're going to give you an opportunity during this time of invitation to make a commitment for Him. Maybe God is leading you to do something else, where you have a willingness to be a volunteer to minister at Bland or wherever. Or maybe God has another plan for you where He wants you to support our missionaries. You contact the IMB right now. They can only give you the initials for a lot of places, but when you contact them, they'll set you up with missionaries that you pray for. You pray for their missions, for their service, or as their ministries. He wants us to be involved as a body in His work of reaching people throughout the world. And we're going to give you an opportunity to make that commitment to Him, to come and pray or to talk. Whatever it is God wants to do in your life, we invite you to do so.